I'll call the August 16th Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, once you give me my hammer, please call the roll. It's a hammer.
Good luck to hammer.
My hammer. I'll take the hammer.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Dandria.
Here.
Alderman Mayor is excused. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderman Taylor.
Here.
Alderman Barber.
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You know, the time clock clicks for all of us. I hope everybody takes a moment to wish our city attorney a happy 62nd birthday. 17th birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Not a birthday, boy.
Happy birthday.
So let's get through these so that he and the clerk can go home and celebrate. Okay.
Back to work.
You think.
Water case.
You think. Item C, let's go to item A. We got a roll call and quorum. Item B, citizen comment period. Any citizen wishing to speak? Any citizen wishing to speak? Seeing none, I will close the citizen comment period. In your packet is the minutes from the regular council meeting of August 2nd. Any additions or corrections? Is there a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Move on to G1. Series of donations, which will receive the usual letters of thanks.
I make a motion to approve or accept donations 1A through 1G.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G2, presentation by Mr. Liberta on overtime. Mr. Liberta.
There's a detailed report in your packet that discusses the use of overtime, particularly with police and fire department. Both chiefs are here, and after my overview, you want to have specific instructions on their operation. But in general, the report shows that historically, we do budget those appropriations very tight so that they can be regulated, but that much of the overtime is actually fairly uncontrollable and driven by operations that require a certain minimum staffing level. And then the report went on to show that the biggest drivers in the overtime are extended leaves. People who are out for workers' comp, family medical leave, injuries. Those are tend to be the things that are driving it because we have to bring people in when we get below a certain number of staff. For example, the fire department, they have 14 staff assigned to each shift. Once there are more than three gone, they do need to have another person come in on overtime in order to ensure they have the 11 needed to maintain the minimum staffing for operating the three departments. One little fact that isn't in the report, but it is worth noting that part of the contract and the work we do with the union, they do frequently volunteer for overtime at straight time. We have a sign-up process that they can do, and that does make it that 54% of their overtime is taken at straight time instead of time and a half. That step alone reduced the budget so far. We reduced expenditures this year by over $60,000. So there are a lot of controls in place, and the report goes into some of those controls that were in place in both the departments. And that's, those steps they take are really important in regulating the control. One other thing I did mention was, for example, the fire department, 12% of their overtime is entirely uncontrollable because it's required by the IRS and the implementation of Fair Labor Standards Act just simply because of the schedule they have. They work X number of hours on the regular schedule. Just showing up for every work period requires that they have these extra portion of overtime. That's 12% of the total expenditure so far this year. The report then also goes on to take that overage in context of the total budget, because our ability to respond and fund those overages that have occurred, there's a table in there that shows between the two departments in the last 5 years, only twice have they been able to keep it actually under the budget due to that uncontrollability and the vacancies in And so we did take that then in context of the overall budget, which we will still fund it before the end of the year. The work we've been doing so far on preparing for the 2017 budget and the monthly financial reports that the finance director provides both to you and the finance committee anticipates that we still, at the pace we're at, still will finish the year within the budget, and that's with two significant deviations in the personnel line items that are noted there. One, we've identified that there was an accounting error in the budget that put us basically in a greater deficit position to start the year than we would have anticipated. But at the same time, right after the budget was adopted, because of the good work we've been doing in health insurance and the intent to keep that health insurance under the Cadillac Act, the OPEB report came back with significant savings that effectively covers that full amount for this year and then some. So both of those washed each other out, and we're still in a position with this overtime, which my review showed is largely uncontrollable, and the departments are continuing to manage it well. We'll require that probably within the next month or so we bring in a budget modification to ensure they have appropriate appropriations in those line items. So we'll do that before it becomes necessary.
Taylor.
I got a question for both chiefs. I guess it'll be the same question. I'll start with the police chief. So what I see here, where we're at halfway through the year, if it continues, you're over, but you're under last year's numbers. Is that, I mean, that's the way I look at it. Is anything gonna that you can see? I mean, you can't predict the future, but especially what's going on now in Milwaukee, do you see anything that says that if you double it, you're at 240, which is, you know, $30,000 less than last year? I mean, is that kind of where you think that you're headed, or, I mean, in that range? Or
yeah, absent anything unusual, we should stay on that pace to be under from last year. Like you mentioned, we are under halfway point. So, but, again, anything could happen that would add to that overtime balance.
Was there anything in the first half of the year that, you know, you can say it was odd that why that number is higher than maybe it would have been if not for one, you know?
No one specific large event I can point to. We've had some tactical situations that we responded to. I think the biggest driver of that was the amount of traffic grants we got this year. It was a little more than we anticipated, and that's a big driver of our overtime, and it's all reimbursable. So, I mean, we accept that, but we get reimbursed, so we don't have to accept it, but you wouldn't save any money.
Right, it's beneficial
that
for us.
The service. So that's a big portion, like $65,000 of that budget is reimbursed from the state for extra patrol. So that's probably the biggest driver, other than, like Mark said, the vacancies, which are very hard, possible to control. So,
okay.
Again, I don't anticipate any more vacancies, which is a big driver for overtime. So, knock on wood, we're at full staffing for the first time in a long time. So I'm hoping if that stays the same, then that shouldn't be a big issue.
That was my question for you then, and Chief. When I look at the same numbers with you, I'm looking at you being over, if things would continue on, about $150,000 over last year.
We had two vacancies for the first basically half of the year that we recently filled. That's going to help us catch up on that.
Okay.
The other thing, though, is our biggest driver is long-term use of sick leave. Back in the day, like 30 years ago, when they converted from an 8-hour day, they earned 1 hour sick or 1 day of sick leave a month when they were working 20 days a month. It was never adjusted when they went to a 24-hour shift. Then they started earning one 24-hour shift a month sick leave and only working 9 to 10 shifts a month. That accrued very large numbers very quickly, and some of the more senior employees that get toward the end of their career tend to use up a lot of that sick leave. We have one employee that's been out over a year now, long-term sick leave. I still don't know what the disposition of that's going to be. I'm hoping that gets resolved quickly, and if we can replace him, we'll be at full staff. We are on the catching up side of this.
There's also the family medical, too. I mean, is that some of the...
Family medical...
We have a young department with kids being born, and it seems...
We made adjustments in the last bargaining agreement that cut that sick time accrual in half, and we haven't seen as much use of the FMLA with younger employees.
I want to say that's 2012 for sure, where you're 132% over. It must have been a busy year in 11.
We had multiple people out on long-term sick leave.
Yeah.
A couple of backs.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Those are my two questions, Your Honor. Thank you.
Thank you. Just to recap what the police chief said, of that 121 or whatever the number is going to be, 65 of that gets reimbursed.
Right.
All you're seeing is the expenditure, not
yeah.
the...
Right. And I'll make a motion to receive and place on file.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, chiefs. You had a busy day today. Yeah, here's a prime example. We had a fire at Taco Bell, right? So that emptied the stations. Got to call guys in. 4-hour minimum. Keep it. So.
And that in our day-to-day sick leave, unless it's really a prolonged event, aren't our main drivers. It's really the long-term, somebody's out for months at a time. That's really what kills us.
Thanks, chiefs. Oh, item G3. Authority to designate $2,100 to the fire department capital.
Second.
Oh, boy. To share stuff with test quarters. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G4, update on the revaluation of the city of Franklin. Everybody got their phone calls?
Motion to receive and place that file. I don't need a report because I know you need a report. I'll give you an easy night.
I just have a quick question.
I'll withdraw my motion.
Thank you. All in well.
Mark, could you let me know if September 29th is the only day the Board of Review meets, or are there other dates?
We're anticipating additional dates. Okay. There's that first date is a statutory date where you have to meet for a minimum of 2 hours. Sometimes we have hearings going into the night of that first night, and then anyone that is not scheduled for that night, the Board itself schedules additional days.
When are you doing your open book scheduling?
We're currently in the middle of that. We're taking phone calls. The notice of assessment asks property owners to call by this Friday, and we'll be having appointments with property owners through the middle part or end of next week.
Thank you. Those are my only questions.
What was the median percentage increase? Do you know? Was it 12?
For residential class properties was 11%. Overall for residentials was 12%. But that includes parcels that were improved due to new construction.
So the median is 11%.
Correct.
So those above 11%, sorry. Those below 11%, good for you.
Correct. That was the mean, not the median, though, just the average.
What was the median?
I'd have to look that up. I'm guessing they're pretty close.
You can get an idea of the median if you look at page 36 of your packet, because... You can see the distribution of where people fell. That's an extra table that we provided this year to help you put an individual results in context. And although some people look at it, as you mentioned, Mayor, above 11%, well, too bad. But at the same time, that also means that their property is doing well in the marketplace, and probably the largest single asset they own has become more valuable to them. So one could argue that's... For an individual, that may be a better thing. The small portion of added tax liability that they may share for the city may be very small compared to the benefit that they accrue from the added property value.
Alderman Taylor.
Oh, I'm sorry. Motion to receive and place that file.
Alderman Mayor, sorry. I didn't hear.
I'll wait.
Last year, the last time there was a revaluation, there was a map that was provided that showed City of Franklin and the different, it was like color-coded to show the basically this only on a map. Is there a way I can get that?
That was for the 2013 reassessment, and I believe that was prepared around tax bill time, and the administrator and I communicated with the GIS department to prepare that map, and I'm sure we can do that again.
Put that together? For the
yeah, it might take a little bit because it is a complicated one, but we can do it based on the preliminary numbers.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Alderman Taylor.
Motion to receive and place on file.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you.
And Mark. Item G5, traffic impact analysis, payment agreement with Zimmerman Ventures. They pay the bill.
Motion to approve the payment agreement with Zimmerman Ventures.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. G6 is to do the work, traffic impact analysis contract extension with Grafe, paid by the previous item.
So moved. Second.
Question.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Is this reimbursable via the TIF?
It could be, but Zimmerman's going to pay for it as part of his development. He'd have to do it anyway.
This is a question.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine question. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G7, resolution conditionally approving a preliminary plat for Evergreen Estates. Alderman Wilhelm.
I'm going to table this for 2 weeks to get the additional missing information that planning staff mentioned and the plan commission expressed concerns with.
Is there a second?
Second.
I'm sorry, Madam Clerk.
Is there a second?
Yes. Second. That's the 2 weeks. We're back to the next meeting.
It's actually three weeks.
Well, 3 weeks.
To the next meeting.
Do we have a time limit, Ms. Beagle?
Yes, we do. We would have to act at the next meeting.
Okay.
Unless we get a time extension.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. I assume the same with G8, which is the Unified Development?
Correct. I also have one issue with G8 is that the legal description does not follow the map. So could you have someone read through the legal description on that?
So noted. Is there a motion?
Hang on a second. I'm just make sure I've got the right one. So you're talking about G8 for the rezoning?
Yeah.
I just want to table this one and just direct staff to clean up the legal description.
To the next meeting.
Right.
Second.
Discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. G9, discussion regarding rezoning for South 27th Street. Mr. Hertzberg. Mr. Deedle. Both of you, either of you.
For a number of reasons, staff is recommending this rezoning. Explained it all in the staff report. One of the reasons, of course, is there have been discussions about this area as part of the three areas, Area A, D, and G. Interest from the side of developers and brokers and realtors for doing something down here, but they claim in their professional opinions that this area is not ripe for office-type development, which is what it's currently zoned for, but more for industrial or light industrial uses. Also, there is a potential project in the works. One of the property owners down there would like to do something. Light industrial spec buildings. For a number of reasons, including those, staff is proposing this rezoning. It's just a rezoning, but we would also need a comprehensive master plan amendment to rezone this to a PDD. Our vision would be very similar to the existing business park, focusing on the same kind of uses, some light industrial, some office, but primarily business park type uses. Anything with a significant component of outdoor storage or trucking or anything like that will probably be a special use. The full-blown truck terminals and those things would not be permitted at all. So that's our vision for what this could be. There would be a design standards similar to the business park. We're not proposing at this time any kind of business park association or anything like that, so all those standards would be in the PDD at this time. And then the comp plan amendment would be to change the 27th Street plan and the comprehensive master plan from this mixed-use office to mixed-use business park. We'd also be envisioning higher uses, larger buildings, multi-story buildings probably, fronting on 27th Street. So then that's what we're proposing at this time, asking for permission to do that. As normal with a PDD, we'd be going through plan commission recommendation, public hearing, and then bringing that back for final decision on the council, by the council.
From Taylor.
Okay, thank you, Honor. So basically, I think a little bit of history. I mean, before I got on the council, many of the long-term residents on Oakwood Road were told back in time that this would be a high-end business park. And actually, a year ago, was it maybe May or April, there was a meeting at City Hall in the hearing room with Interstate Partners that was looking at making the purchase of the Marr property. And that was brought up, and the mayor, and there was 40, 50 people in the room, said even higher quality than the current business park. Those were your exact words, and there'll be people that will show up at some point and would say that. So obviously, what goes in this area is extremely important to those residents, because they've been told this for years and years and years, well before I even moved in this city, which has now been over 10 years. The Interstate Partner deal that came about a year plus ago fell apart. It nothing happened, and there's reasons for it. But when I got back on the council in September, maybe a month or so afterwards, they reached out to me because I didn't think the whole thing was handled properly. And so I've been meeting with them since January, with them and key people that live in the Fairways of Franklin, Hidden Oaks, on 31st Street, and also on Oakwood Road. We've had, I think, three different meetings where the residents' concerns were pretty much addressed. Lots of emails going back and forth between presidents of the Homeowners Association and that. And we held probably about a little over a month ago a neighborhood meeting where we worked with the city staff to make sure every single, at least getting the developer all the addresses, and every single person was sent a letter, and we had this meeting, and two people showed up. And it was a two that lived right across the street, and because they were at all the other meetings individually, they said, well, let's go home and enjoy our night. So then I put a call in to Aaron and said, all right, this is going to come back. We don't need concept review, because reality is we did concept review, and in the letter it explained that I've been involved since January. We had a number of meetings, and we moved the entrance, we put berms, we flipped the buildings, we did all the right things to work with the neighbors. Now, I think when I talked to Joel, he had said that you had to be convinced that this was really not high-end, right? Kind of this was really not to that level. However, what I've told the residents in that area is you have a property owner and a developer that's willing to work with you. They're actually willing to work to make sure that you're happy with what's going to be sitting there. Now, the concerns are still going to be what is going to happen in that building, the noise, the odors, and things like that. And from what I'm being told by staff is we will have more control doing it this way than a regular zoning. So that's the reason why I'm on board us doing this, number one. Number two, it's because this whole area has always been planned for this. We know that. Where I have an issue, and I had the issue when I was sitting in the audience, was spending a whole lot of money putting in roads and lighting and electrical and doing any of that when I think it's all going to happen naturally. However, we have a TIF, and we probably need to start looking at somehow, and I know Alderwoman Mayer has mentioned to me in the past about, well, why can't we just maybe run water down 27th Street? Why can't we have it a little more ready to go than it is right now? I mean, if we know this stuff's going to happen and we take these steps here and do a PDD and we do certain things so we at least are close to being ready without putting in millions of dollars worth of improvements, then we're probably heading in the right direction, because we know we're out of space, and besides outlots and things like that. So my position has never changed that this is going to eventually be this. I just would have focused on a different area. But that's just my opinion, and I represent this area, and that's my two cents. So I support what we're doing, but I think we also have to be aware of that, this parcel, this interstate area, this part, and then the Marr property on the corner, the big corner women, they're going to hold out for $3 or $4 million. There's no doubt about that, because they know what that's worth in talking to, their brokers and that. Now, there is one thing that I'm working with as well, is there's the Wendt property, the Wendt farm, which is just to the west. It's 40 acres, and there is a demand for residential still in this community. We're almost out of lots, and that is in the Oak Creek Franklin School District. There is no any assistance going to be asked for by the city. I know it doesn't fit the whole maybe plan is how we have it laid out right now, but just so you know that that is something that will be coming forward at some point. And I can tell you that before I was on this council again, because I have to always follow open records laws, Madam Clerk, Mr. City Attorney, but when I was not a elected official on the Franklin Common Council, I talked to all five of the six aldermen. Now, one of them is when I'm sitting in her chair, and one replaced Alderman Schmidt. So I at least still know where at least four besides myself stand on that being residential. So that being said, I would expect that to come forward at some point here, because there are developers that are saying we'd love to build homes in this community. We just didn't know that that area was even a possibility. Well, why would they think that when the city's marketing it as this future, one of the $300 some million worth of economic on those three spots, Loomis, 76 in Rawson, and down here. So why would any residential home builder be looking in that area if all we're saying is that's just going to be, business park, commercial, mixed use, whatever? So I just want to make sure that when we're designing the map that doesn't throw a kink into that as well. So I don't know how we would handle that, or else we would just do the whole PDD, and then we would have to come back and then carve that out for that parcel.
Mr. Teal.
Those would probably be the two most likely scenarios. Either come back and carve it out, or provide two options through the process of Plan Commission, Public Hearing, Council, have two options available, and then the Council would.
But really, what we're talking is the north 32 acres, because you have the high tension wires that cut through, and so that southern portion is going to have a different use, I'm sure, and that would come off of Elm Road, because you wouldn't want that to come up through Oakwood and through a residential subdivision. So that's just something to look at.
For my two cents, I'm going to work with staff to make sure that the standards are high enough. The issue we'll have with PDD 18 is that the standards for that changed upwards but weren't dogma. So we'll work on that. If this goes through.
Well, and Your Honor, as long as, we're aware that, frankly, there's south of just those few on Oakwood, there's not residential way down county line, unless you really start going west. So you're not dealing with a lot of neighbor concerns. And so, you still have to be careful of any noise in that. Nothing like the trucking terminals. Nowhere in that direction, which I think is just would cause plenty of concerns.
And it shouldn't be there.
Right. Yeah.
Anyone else? Alderman Wilhelm.
Well, there were a couple things in there that one place it mentioned that the business people have said that this wouldn't be, they haven't had anything for office. Another place mentioned that this would be significant office. So are we sure we're going to have significant offices? The businesses as it wasn't going to be.
What I'm envisioning would be a mixed-use business park, so that would allow office, commercial, and light industrial.